Today's gospel is from the sixth chapter of Luke, beginning with verse 20, found on page 838 in your pew Bible. Looking at his disciples, Jesus said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on the one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others what you would have them do to you." The Gospel of our Lord. Have a seat, please. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thanks for remembering the 8:30 time frame, and I'm so glad you're all here, and welcome to those watching online. If you're watching online, as we get later in the service, you may want to have a candle ready, because we're going to be talking about what this cross is here in front of us, and it might help you at home to take part in that way. Lose. I hate losing things. Do you? We had this fantastic, like, baby backpack when our kids were small. It was green. It gave great support for your waist. And when you carried the kid on the back, you could hike for miles. And it actually was just so comfortable, even though, you know, the kid might be complaining in the back. You were comfortable as the one carrying them. We loaned that out to someone, and it disappeared. I hate that, because now that I'm a grandpa, I'd like to have that backpack back again so that I could use it. I had this really great Glacier National Park t-shirt. It shows up in a picture that my wife has on her desk, and since that picture, it's disappeared. I love that shirt. It was just a little t-shirt, but gosh, I hate losing things. Now, those are really trivial matters, right? Maybe annoying or bothersome. But it's nothing like the hole that love leaves. Lose is today's theme as we continue this series called Sticky Faith. That's how God forms in us faith that lasts. These things we've been talking about help our faith to stick. And handling losses, because they're such a big part of life, how we hold on to Christ in them is a sure sign that faith has stuck in us. But there is a big hole that love leaves. Cindy found this great picture of a broken glass. And if you look close, they didn't catch this right away. It's the shape of a heart where the rock or whatever went through the window. That's a hole that love leaves. The more you love someone, the more it hurts when they are gone. Today is All Saints Sunday, which comes around every year, usually the first Sunday of November. It's a special day here at Shepherd of the Hills because it gives us a chance to pause and remember and celebrate those who are dear to us that are no longer with us on earth. First of all, to say a saint, you might think, well, my mother, father, or loved one wasn't a saint. What are we talking about here? Well, you have a wrong idea of saint if you think that way. Because saint isn't a perfect person or someone that never makes a mistake. A saint is someone who trusts the promises of Christ. That's how Paul defines it. That's how Luther defined it. A saint is someone who lives out their faith. Yeah, we're sinners saved by grace, right? But a saint is someone who has gone before us, who shows us that we can live this faith. They inspire us to follow Christ. And those are that's what a saint is today, and that's who we're going to be celebrating. The words you heard from Paul in Romans are just about as good as they come. And it's really good to remind us of these words as we begin this All Saints celebration. He writes, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, he says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." These really are some of the greatest words in Scripture. Nothing can separate us from the Lord and from the God's love that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now hear that again. Did Paul say some things can separate us from the love of God, like death or demons, financial ruin, disease, depression, addiction, ADHD? Is that what Paul wrote? No. Christ, he says, not some things, but nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. God is omnipotent and omnipresent. All powerful he is, and always there he is. God's love repairs the hole that love leaves. Last Sunday, if you're here, we did Reformation Sunday, and we sang that fantastic hymn, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God." The fourth verse of that hymn gets me every time. It says this. It's just emotional because it says something so profound in such an amazing way. It says, "God's word forever shall abide. No thanks to foes who fear it. For God himself fights by our side with weapons of the Spirit. Were they to take our house, goods, honor, child, or spouse, though life be wrenched away, we cannot win the day. They cannot win the day. The kingdom's ours forever." Were they to take our house, goods, honor, child, or spouse? That's really what Job was living, as we heard a bit from his story today. The book of Job, pronounced Job, not Job. Sometimes that happens. In Job 1, it talks about what happened to him. And it was this kind of strange interaction between Satan and God that was basically a test for this man to see if he could remain faithful even though critical parts of his life were taken away. And you read the first chapter, and it's like if things could only get worse. It's like the very, very, very bad day when everything started out bad and it got worse continually. He had flocks and family, and he was wealthy. And he was feasting and drinking wine with his older brother's house. And the Sabaeans attacked and carried off all of your animals. They're gone. He's still speaking. Another messenger came and said, "Fire fell from the sky and burned up your sheep and your servants. I'm the only one that escaped." And then as he's still speaking, another one came. "The Chaldeans formed three raiding parties and they swept down with your camels and carried them off and put the servants to the sword." And while he's still speaking, a messenger said, "Your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, and suddenly a mighty wind swept from the desert, struck the four corners of the house, and it collapsed, and they're all dead." He lost everything in the swoop of one afternoon. And so that little section we read today, the book continues of Job wonders why this happened. And it's a back and forth between God. And then these three friends show up and they give Job a lot of advice saying, well, you must have done something wrong for all these bad things to happen to you. And Job argued his righteousness and said, I don't know what I did. I wish the Lord would tell me what I did so I can know. And so this little section we read today was really speaking of the pain of loss, because Job is dumbfounded. He says, oh, that my words could be recorded and written on a scroll or inscribed in iron on lead and engraved on a rock forever. Why? Why would he want those words inscribed? We've been talking about this in our men's Bible study, which is at 7:30 every Wednesday, if you'd like to come out. And Job, why does he want these words inscribed? It's for us. It's for us to see what happened to him, and that even in the most horrendous of circumstances, this man remained faith-filled. Yes, he questioned God. He even argued with God. He asked God a lot of questions, but his statement that he says today in verse 25, I know that my Redeemer lives and that in the end he will stand on earth, really attributes and sums up what happens in this book of Job. You see, God's love repairs the hole that love leaves. I'm sure you've loved the hymn, It Is Well With My Soul, and you probably know the story of how it was penned. But it's another one of those big holes that love leaves has happened to the man who wrote it. Horatio Spafford was a businessman in Chicago. In 1871, he lost everything to the Great Fire of Chicago. In 1873, the business interests went further down as everything crashed, economic downturn in 1873. His family was under a lot of stress, his four daughters, and also in 1873, his four-year-old son died. He had one son and four daughters. His family was under stress and grief, and so they decided to send his wife and the four girls back to England for a kind of a vacation. And as they were going back, and he stayed back to take care of some business, but as the ship was traveling, there was this collision in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, and the ship that was carrying them sank in 12 minutes. His wife was saved, but all the daughters died. And when she got to Wales, she sent her husband a telegram, saved alone, what shall I do? After receiving the telegram, Horatio immediately set sail for England. And during the voyage, the captain of the ship called him into the captain's cabin at the very place where the collision happened. He pointed out the location where it was, and he was a devout Christian and thought about this man Horatio was and thought about his four daughters, and he was comforted by the hope that he had. He rushed to his room and wrote a poem. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roar, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. When we returned home, the Spaffords had friends visiting them, and one of those friends was Philip Bliss, a vocalist and songwriter. He was so moved by his poem that he composed the music, It Is Well With My Soul, and it was sung in Dwight Moody's Crusades at that time. In Jesus Christ, we know we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to lose. We have nothing to hide. We have nothing to prove. You see, that's such a profound thing that a man who lost his entire family and all of his business dealings at the same time could actually cling to Christ, because it seems that would be a good time to give up on faith. God, I've been praying. How could you do this? But there is this amazing thing that happens when we have nowhere else to go. We lose everything, and yet God never lets go of us. His love repairs the hole that love leaves. So today, we draw near to Christ. We speak about this in our grief group, that if we didn't love so much, we wouldn't grieve so much. It wouldn't hurt so much to to love those that have gone before us. But there is a hole that love leaves. And there is Christ. Christ who comforts. Christ who loves. Christ who comes alongside us in our losses and reminds us to cling to him. When the disciples were, or he was questioning his disciples if they would leave him after a hard teaching on the bread of life and Jesus being the bread, he asked them, do you want to leave too? And they said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And I think that's where lost leads us to, because we have one place that we can go that is solid as a rock, and that is Jesus Christ. He comforts us in our losses, and in the gospel today reminds us not to cling to our pedigree, our success, or our wealth, but to cling to him alone, because God's love repairs the hole that love leaves. Let us pray. Jesus, today we want to give space and time just to remember, to cry out to you, to have you draw near to us as we draw near to you, and to help us deal with the losses of our lives, especially loved ones who have died. Lord, we are aware of their absence, and that makes us very sad. But in you, we can trust that you hold them and help them. And you'll help us because you do not leave us alone. You're omnipresent and you're powerful. So Lord, give us your love and your power today to heal, to grieve, and to celebrate. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.